Thank the Lord for his goodness to us today. And I ask an interest in your prayers as I stand before you this morning. That God will bless us here. The thought I have on my heart this morning is getting to know God. Something that we all need to do. It's something that we all can do also. So I was thinking of, and I know sometimes we look at our children and we wish, we hope that somehow they can get to know God for themselves. In order to, for us to make it to heaven, we need to be self-motivated and self-propelled saints. And not depending upon someone else and what they're doing, but it finally comes to a place when you get grown where you've got to have it inside. You have to have something inside that reaches out for God, and you have to cultivate that and keep it fresh. Otherwise, there are so many things going on in this life that it'll just kind of fade away. One of the things I think of different times is young people coming to Sunday school. Sometimes parents maybe don't realize the importance of bringing little old children to Sunday, just little fellas.
Yes.
Bring them to Sunday school. And because they may feel that, well, what is he gaining out of this? It just seemed like he just comes in and you can't hardly keep his attention, and you try to teach him a little bit of something. But I have been convinced that bringing the children to Sunday school when they're young and keeping them in Sunday school and church all the way up, that they get something.
Yeah.
If you take 18 years of coming and getting just a little bit of something every Sunday, it builds up into something. And over all that time period, it really does amount to something.
Amen.
And children can get a hold of God when they begin to turn their own heart. They've been taught these things, then they turn their own mind. They turn their own heart toward God and really begin to think about this.
Amen.
All right. This is something that's very important for us to do. You've no doubt had people say or ask questions, how do I know God is talking to me? And there's many times people wonder, well, how do I get to know God? How does he manifest himself and all that? Well, this is a really large topic, and I am not going to come close to really doing it this morning. But I feel the Lord would have us to start.
Amen.
So I want to turn here to Exodus, the 20th chapter. One of the ways that we get to know God is through his word.
Yes.
Through the word of God, through the Bible. We learn about him. So I'm going to dwell on the thought this morning about our God, something about him that shows up here, right here in Exodus, the 20th chapter. It's jealousy. You might wonder, well, how does that fit in with God? Well, let's go on through here today. We'll see what the Lord would have for us. Exodus 20th chapter in the 3rd verse, it's, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is the first of the 10 commandments. God beginning to manifest himself to his people. And so it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Our God is a jealous God.
Amen.
Let's just keep this thought in mind. We're wanting to get to know God, wanting to know something about Him. And He has different kinds of characteristics, of which this is one. One of the very first things of importance when you're wanting to know God is knowing who He is,
yes,
the type of person He is. And when we meet a person and maybe we want to get married to them and so forth, we get to know them. And so in getting to know them, you begin to know them by means of characteristics, traits in their personality. You begin to learn how they talk, and you want to learn what pleases them, so you kind of want to know what they would like for you to do, what they expect of you, and so forth. And so you involve yourself in all those things, and we as Christians need to involve ourselves in those things with respect to God.
Yes.
His word, His will for us, what He wants us to do, how He wants us to behave, what makes Him happy, and so forth. Well, this is one of the first things. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Amen.
You could imagine a young man and a lady wants to pursue after a young lady, and then it seems like to me that this is one of the first things she's going to come to her mind. I want you to give up all those other ones. You cannot have me if you got somebody else. Now, our God is like that.
Yes.
God is a jealous God. Jeremiah 13th chapter and the 14th verse. Someone got that before me? If you can, read it. Third chapter, 14th verse.
Turn, O backsliding children.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Right.
Yes.
Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you,
mm-hmm,
and I will take you one of a city, mm-hmm, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion,
mm-hmm,
and I will give you pastures according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
All right, so he said here to turn, you backsliding children, you children that have approached to me, come to me, and then have gone away. He said, I am married to you. You know, God,
yes,
chooses to attach himself to us.
Yes.
And he wants us to turn so that we begin to give him our attentions.
Yes.
So he said, I am married to you. Can you think of it as God being closely associated with you to the extent that he's made a commitment to you? Think of that. Genesis 17 and 7. We want the Lord to be closely attached to us. We might say married to us. Genesis 17 and 7 says, And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This is God's covenant, you might say, with Abraham and with Abraham's descendants coming after him. So he made a covenant. He attached himself to them.
Yes.
He said, I am married to you, even though they were a backsliding people. Imagine that, God being married to you, attached to you. Now let's turn to Exodus, the 34th chapter, and the 10th verse. And we're going to read down here a ways. God's I say here in my notes, God's marriage covenant with Israel. Starting here at the 10th verse.
And he said,
amen.
Behold, I make a covenant.
I make a covenant.
Before all thy people, I will do marvelous such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation.
Amen.
And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord.
Amen.
For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee.
Yes, go right ahead. We're going to read down to the 28th verse.
All right. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God.
All right, as we read this, we want to take note that, or let's say as we read this, let's put ourselves into the place of these people that God is having these things said to. And let's try to really get into this from that standpoint, to say, to feel that God is telling me to take heed to myself. I've got to make this covenant. God is making this covenant with us, and then he's wanting us to cut down, to destroy images, cut down the groves.
Yeah.
In other words, these other people that God had displaced to allow his chosen people to come in, he's telling his people to don't pick up of the way that they worship.
Yes.
Don't pick up their gods. Don't begin to worship their gods or any of that. I want you to go in there and destroy. Tear it down. Don't follow after that at all.
Amen.
Now you can imagine that God here is talking to you as you've given your heart to the Lord. He's telling you to go forward, tear down, destroy, but don't at all continue to worship in the way that you have worshipped in the past. Let's go on.
Amen. I want to read this 14th.
Yes.
For thou shalt worship no other god.
Amen.
For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God.
He is a jealous God.
Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a horn after their god, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and
listen to this.
And one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice.
Okay, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. He's telling his people that you do not go in there and make any kind of covenant with these people that have been in this land. He says, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and someone call you to come over and partake of that, and you go over there with them.
Yeah.
All right? Now he says, go a-whoring after their gods. In other words, placing themselves in front of, presenting themselves to their gods, seeking out this idol god, they go a-whoring after that. Amen. Let's go on.
And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons.
Yes.
And their daughters go a-whoring after their gods. And make their sons go a-whoring after their gods.
Make thy sons.
Yes.
Go a-whoring after their gods. Now, this is one reason why Christians don't marry sinners. This is one reason why you don't do that. Because people that are not saved and not serving God, they will go after the things that they value, treasure, worship, mean a lot to them. And if you are a Christian and you're closely attached to that person, it'll be very difficult for you to remain clear of that. And so you may be found being involved in things that God is not pleased with you being involved in.
Amen.
Amen.
Thou shalt make thee no molten god.
Don't be melting any metal and fashioning some kind of god. You can make a statue and all of that, and you know, don't do that.
Amen.
Sometimes you may go into a restaurant I have, and I see this big old Buddha in front of the restaurant. And I can imagine that there are people that are worshiping their Buddha. There are people that are doing that. That is statue. It may represent some fellow years and years ago, but people bow down themselves to those things. And he has no real deliverance to offer them.
Amen.
Let's go on ahead.
The feast of unleavened bread shall thou keep.
Amen.
7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread.
Mm-hmm.
And I commanded thee, as I commanded thee, in the time of the month, For in the month Ahib thou camest out from Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
All that openeth the matrix is mine.
Mm-hmm.
And every firstling among thy cattle, mm-hmm. whether ox or sheep, that is male.
Mm-hmm.
But the firstlings of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. All the firstborn of thy son shall thou redeem, and none shall appear before me empty.
All right, what he's saying here is that there was a feast of the Passover, a commemoration that they were supposed to keep in them coming out of Egypt, being delivered out of the slavery and bondage of Egypt. And he's telling them to make a commemoration, make a memorial feast of that every year.
Yes.
All right? To honor God's deliverance from the bondage,
yes.
of Egypt. So you might say that in the Christian's heart today, there's a time that you should spend remembering what God has delivered you from,
yes.
and honoring Him,
yes.
for what He has done to deliver you,
yes.
from
Thank
the
Lord.
Bondage of Satan.
Yes, Lord.
Let's go ahead.
6 days thou shalt work,
mm-hmm.
but on the seventh day thou shalt rest,
mm-hmm.
in
hearing time,
mm-hmm. and in harvest thou shalt rest.
Amen. This is talking about the Sabbath day. In this time in which they lived, they were to work their 6 days, and then on the seventh day they were to stop their work. And then spend that as a day of rest, as a day of honoring God, because they've rested from all their labors. In the time in which we live, God has brought us, Jesus Christ has brought us to a point where we realize that that Sabbath day of rest is a spiritual thing, and it's something that we're to enter into, and it's supposed to be a perpetual Sabbath.
Yes.
Last all the time. We don't enter into the spiritual strivings and things that people are involved in that don't know God.
Amen.
We stay in God's presence all
yes.
the time.
Thank the Lord. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks,
mm-hmm.
of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast mm-hmm. of ingathering at the year's end.
Yes.
Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders.
Mm-hmm.
Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven. Neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt not see a kid in his mother's milk.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said unto Moses,
mm-hmm.
write thou these words.
Listen to this.
For after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments.
All right.
Amen.
This is the covenant that God was making with his people, Israel. This is that marriage covenant. That they are to turn away from the gods of the people in that land that they were going into, that they were to in the Canaan land. They were to not follow after those gods, and you might say they were to remember all of the commandments that God had given to Moses, and then there were some other commandments that followed on somewhat later that expounded upon those. They were to keep all of those commandments and not mix with those people, not pick up of their ways, not marry the sons and daughters in and amongst the idol worshippers and so forth, but they were to keep themselves and keep all the remembrances of everything that God wanted them to keep. This, you know, you might say sometimes when you're getting to know somebody, you're going into a marriage kind of a relationship with someone, there are certain things that you learn about them, and they want you to keep that now and forevermore. Don't ever change.
Amen.
Don't waver in it. All right. Let's turn to Exodus, the 25th chapter. God wrote His commandments on the tables of stone where we could pick them up and, you might say, read them and go back over it every so often. Exodus 25th chapter and the 16th verse. We're going to read down through the 22nd. And we're going to talk about this testimony, this covenant, some more.
And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee.
Amen. So this testimony, these tables of stone which God had written the Ten Commandments on, they were to be put into the ark of the testimony, as it were, and that was to be put into the temple, the place where they went to worship. They were had these commandments were put into a special place. Now, the covenant that we're going to be going into is going to be how that God is able to make that kind of a placement of His commandments in your very heart. He makes a covenant with you, and He puts those commandments in your heart. Let's read on.
And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. Two cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make two cherubim of gold, of beaten work shall thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat. And make one cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubim on the two ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel.
Amen. All right, so here we see God taking His commandments, putting them in the ark of the testimony. This was a little chest. And then He told him to make a mercy seat. This was a place, you might think, where you could come and envision this. Come and sit down. And there are these two angels' wings overshadowing this mercy seat, over the commandments of God. And this is a place where you could come and God would meet with you.
Yes.
Okay? So here we are. We are to be able to enter into that place.
Yes.
Salvation, sanctification brings us into a place where we can sit beneath the angels' wings, where we can have the ark of the testimony there right before us, and we sit on the mercy seat where God is showing His mercies to us, and He's meeting us there, and He's communicating with us there.
Yeah.
This is why it's so important for us to spend some time in prayer, devotion to God, opening our hearts up to God, opening our minds up to God, expressing our needs that God that we want God to help us with and deal with us with. We want to spend some time there on that mercy seat.
Yeah.
Under the overshadowing of His wings. That's a special place.
Yes.
You know, God wants you to come into that special place where you can communicate with Him.
Yes.
very much, I go back now, very much like a couple coming together, bringing their lives together, very much like them wanting to sneak off, getting alone, and having some very personal, private talks to work out problems and to express close things to each other. They don't do this maybe just in the midst of a whole lot of people, but they want to go away. God wants you to be able to go away with Him, get alone with Him, where He can talk to you, where you can talk to Him, and you have a special relationship there, a special closeness. When you talk to God, He draws near to you. You feel His love. You feel His protection. You feel His divine guidance. There are things that maybe bother you and so forth in this world. You won't decide. You have decisions you have to make. And you go into that place of prayer. Getting alone with God. And He talks to you because you have a relationship with Him.
Amen.
This is His way of dealing with mankind. How do you expect to be a Christian when you don't ever get alone with God? Get alone with Him. Spend some time going into that private closet of prayer. Nobody else around. None of their business. This is just between you and God. You get alone with God. You pour out your heart to Him. You speak to Him. You tell Him the things that are close to you, the things that are bothering you. You can tell Him things that you would like for Him to do. It's not all a one-way deal. Sometimes people get into one-way relationships, you know. This one is not a one-way relationship.
Amen.
God also speaks back to you. And He tells you what He wants of you. He opens Himself up to you and floods your soul.
Amen.
Flood your soul with glory, with grace, with strength to go about the day's work. He can give you good thoughts and meditations that enable you to go out and live a good, sound Christian life. But
Lord,
it's important to get alone with Him.
Yes. Amen.
Let's go on now. So, this is what God wants us to do. 2 Kings 17 and 5. Now, I want us to pay attention to what the children of Israel actually did. All right, these people that God has showed Himself to, He let them know, I'm a jealous God. Right? He told them, I have a special place for you to come and worship Me, bow down yourself to Me, to communicate with Me. I want to talk with you. I want you to get to know Me. I want you to stay away from the idols around there. But let's look at what they did.
Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Haber by the river Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. For so it was that
listen to what they
the children
had done.
Of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods.
Look at what they did.
And walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them. mm-hmm. and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, Ye shall not do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the Lord testified against Israel mm-hmm. and against Judah by the prophets mm-hmm. and by all the seers, saying, Turn ye from your evil ways
mm-hmm.
and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God.
Mm-hmm.
And they rejected his statutes
mm-hmm.
and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen
mm-hmm.
that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them, that they should not do like them.
Mm-hmm.
And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worship all the host of heaven, and serve Baal.
Mm-hmm.
And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantment
mm-hmm.
and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah See? Only.
So this is what Israel did, the main body of God's chosen people. They went and did exactly the opposite of what God told them to do. Just don't make idols, they made idols. Don't make groves, they made groves. They made molten images. They went and joined with the heathen in their worship. God told them, don't do it. They did it. They even stooped to getting involved in, says, divinations,
yes.
enchantments.
Yes.
This is like witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
They went away from God just the opposite direction.
Yes.
Right. And then it said, but left but the tribe of Judah only.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now let's keep reading. Read on
also
down to the 23rd verse.
Also did kept not the commandments of the Lord their God,
mm-hmm.
but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them mm-hmm. and delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight.
Mm-hmm.
For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord, and made them sin against a great sin.
Mm-hmm.
For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam
mm-hmm.
which he did.
Amen.
They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by mm-hmm. all his servants,
Amen.
The prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day.
So he took them away from that promised land.
Yes.
The people that he had loved, that he said he had made a marriage covenant with, he had made a covenant, a special covenant with them. They were his special people, and he put them away. All right, now in 2 Kings, the 21st chapter, and the first verse, we're going to read about what Judah did.
Manasseh was 12 mm-hmm. years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother's name was Hephzibah.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, mm-hmm. whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. And he reared up altars for Baal,
mm-hmm.
and made a grove, and As did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. Mm-hmm. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name.
They went right into the place where they were to worship God, and they put these other idols in there.
Oh, Lord.
Make altars to those other idols right in that place. I wonder if, you know, if that's like a man being married to one woman and bringing something that belongs to another woman and putting it up in his house. And every so often going by and say, "Ooh, isn't that beautiful?" I wonder. But this is what these people did.
Oh, Lord.
Let's go on.
And he built houses for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments, mm-hmm, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. Mm-hmm. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord, mm-hmm, to provoke him to anger. Mm-hmm. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house, of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, mm-hmm, only if they will observe to do accordingly to all that I have commanded, mm-hmm, them, and according to all the laws that my servant Moses commanded them.
That's all he wanted them to do. Give them a special place, only if you'll just observe my commandments. All right, let's go on.
But they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. And the Lord spake by his servant, the prophet, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations, and have done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and have made Judah also to sin with his idol. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. Mm-hmm. And I shall stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it, mm-hmm, and turning it upside down. Mm-hmm. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies.
Amen.
Because they have done that which was evil in my sight, mm-hmm, and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day.
Amen.
Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, mm-hmm, beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord.
All right, that's good. So this wicked king,
oh Lord,
of Judah now, so you've got Israel on this side, the 10 tribes, and then you've got Judah representing the other 2 tribes, and here, both of them have sinned in the way God said, do not you go that way. Here is very, I'll say we can note that the leader was the one leading them astray. You know how it's important to have leaders that are in touch with God and will lead you to God?
Yes.
Whenever it comes anything to do with making it to heaven, you want to have someone that leads you to God,
yes,
not away from God.
Yes,
So you can see the danger in being involved in going out into the world and getting involved in churches that really the leaders are not directing people to God, but directing people to lift up themselves or holding up something else to give obeisance to. These leaders led these people astray. Now, of course, the people were not innocent themselves. They followed the leaders. So you don't follow the leader when you're going astray. Just let the leader go astray, and you just don't do that. But both Israel and Judah went away from God, and they sinned in following after idols. God was not pleased at all. That love that he had for these people, it seems, was turned to hatred. His wrath seemed to be poured out upon them, and he had been protecting them from their enemies. And here we find that he says, listen, I'm going to let the enemies just come in and just have you. They're going to destroy Jerusalem. They're going to destroy my temple, that place that I had set up in there to meet and to be with you. You have corrupted it, and I'm going to allow it to be just wiped away. And furthermore, you people, eventually these people were taken away into captivity, displaced from the place that God had promised them that would be theirs. They were taken away in bondage into another place. God is a jealous God.
Yes, he is.
He wants you to serve him. He wants you to put him first.
Yes.
And him alone. He is to be lifted up. And nothing else, nobody else.
Amen.
No other God anywhere is to be in his place. Now, like I said, I know that you women can relate to being married to a man that puts some other woman in your face.
No, Lord.
You can relate to that. As a means of communicating what's going on here, I'm using that. That would not be appreciated at all.
Amen.
You could say, well, I love the Lord and I love God and I even love this man. But when he does that, it's something here. That it just... it's something there. It's hard to deal with. These people did that. These people, I believe, they committed spiritual adultery. They were committed into a special covenant with God. They had said at one point in time, yes, we will do, we will keep his commandments and all of that. And here we find that after they made that commitment, they just left it. Just left it. Spiritual adultery. You know we can commit spiritual adultery? After we have promised ourselves to God, then we pick up other stuff that God really is not pleased with, and we begin in our hearts to be attached to those things. And we begin to put those things ahead of God. Spiritual adultery. We begin to drift off away from Him. The one that we were supposed to remain attached to, close to, communicate with, love Him back, express ourselves to Him. We begin to seek other places. That's spiritual adultery. All right. Now, in the New Testament time, and later on, and we're going to read here Jeremiah 31st chapter, we find another covenant going on. Jeremiah 31st chapter in the 31st verse says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more.
Amen.
Reading in Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet.
Yes.
He was prophesying of a day to come. And we call it the New Testament time. Over here in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, I want to read here, and the 8th verse, we're going to pick up the same thing and find that in the New Testament, after Jesus had come and died, made it possible for man to be delivered from sin, here we're going to find words about this new covenant. 8th verse, reading down to the 11th verse.
For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord.
Finding fault with that old covenant.
When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes. So now we find, prophesied in the Old Testament by Jeremiah, that there was going to be a time of a new covenant that God was going to make with the house of Israel. Now, in the New Testament time, we're not talking about just the Jewish, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, today the Israelis. We're not just talking about them, but we're talking about the people of God, those people that are, you might say, God's chosen people, the true Israelites, those people that have God in their heart. This includes all the Gentile people in the world that have turned their hearts to God.
Yes.
If you have gotten saved, if you have taken advantage of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and repented from your sins and turned away from the things that have separated you from God, well, we have a promise here that we can go forward to God and go personally, each one individually, into that place of the mercy seat with the angels of God overshadowing our lives, our footsteps, and we can sit there in that place where we can commune with God direct, one-on-one.
Amen.
A sanctification and a dedication of our hearts to God, that change that takes place internally, that puts us in a special place now that we were not able to have access to previously. And so we find that there we can have a new covenant with God. A covenant, an agreement, a contract, something between two individuals that draws them close together.
Yeah.
A new covenant where that it's not just a matter of the Ten Commandments being written on tables of stone and placed at our feet, you might say. But now we find that God, through His Holy Spirit, can put His commandments day by day, talking to us. He can write those commandments in our hearts. You may run into some people that say, you can't live saved without sin all your life. Some people you may run into will say, well, you're going to sin every so often. You know, you do your best. But I want to say to you this morning that when the law of God is written in your heart,
Amen.
You have entered into a special place of communication with God.
Yeah.
That all you have to do is maintain that place with God through prayer and devotion to Him.
Yeah.
And His law written in your heart. That will enable you to live in a way pleasing to God throughout the remaining portion of your life. You never have to slip and fall and go back into sin. Something written in here. To have His law written in the tables of your heart, you know that means to give up to God to the extent, you might say, that His finger can just etch in our heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do good to them that hate you. Be merciful. Write it in there. Love me with all of your heart. Soul, mind, and strength. Write it in their heart. You can yield your heart up so that God, with His finger, can write. Right there. It's inside. You know, you get to know God by what His commandments are, what He talks to you about. You get to know Him. This is something that each one of us, you want to do. You want to do this. You really do. If you have any kind of a lack within your heart, a lack which is kind of an emptiness where you don't feel that you're as close to God or what you should be, open up and give it all to Him. Give your heart to Him. Let Him be your God. Turning now to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. We have a number of scriptures here we're going to run through here in the New Testament. St. Matthew 6, chapter and 24th verse. Our God is a jealous God. It says here, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the true God in heaven and the God of this world, the God of materialism, the God that promises all sorts of material, temporal things here in this life. You cannot serve both. It's going to split your affections. I say, sisters, you cannot allow a husband to say, I love you and I love somebody else. He cannot be trying to please you and take care of you and then over there doing something else too, trying to tell somebody else the same thing. The same thing it is in dealing with God. Our God is a jealous God. He is not going to put up with us splitting our affection. Give your affection to God alone. Give it to Him. Don't hold anything back from Him. He is a jealous God. You saw what He did to the children of Israel. He eventually put them away. Just very much like women in this time world do with husbands that try to do two things at once. They many times put them away. I'm finished with you. I've given you too many chances already. Put him away. St. John, 17th chapter. And we're reading the 16th verse. It says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. God's people, the people that have chosen to follow God, they are not to be of the same beliefs. They are not to be of the same mode of living, of the same motivations as the people that are not serving God. They are supposed to be different. You are not supposed to fit in with the people that are not serving God. You're supposed to be different. I don't fit. I'm sorry, I don't fit. I can't help it. It's something written in my heart that separates me. They are not of the world.
That's right.
Not. St. John, 1 John 2 and 15 puts it,
yes.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
Yes.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Right?
Amen.
So where is the love? Where is your love? What are you attached to? If God has made a commitment to you, you've accepted His commitment, hold your affection.
Yeah.
Set your affection on things above.
Yeah.
Amen.
I, being a man, a married man, I can say that as a married man, you have to keep your affections.
Yeah.
You have something to do with that.
Amen.
You don't just, I fell in love like someone pushed off a cliff. And I fell out. No, it doesn't go like that.
No.
You have to hold this thing.
Yeah.
This bond, this attachment, you hold it in place.
Yeah.
The same way it is with dealing with God.
Yeah.
The enemy of your soul will present many temptations to you.
Yes.
You want to serve God. You want to be in that place where God is talking to you and you feel that close communion and attachment and your love back and forth between Him and you. But there you are tempted, pulled away to give some special attention to something that is temporal in nature, carnally pleasing to the flesh. You're tempted to be pulled away in that direction.
Yeah. Amen.
You're tempted to mix and mingle in spirit with the people that are not serving God. We use this word of the world, people of the world, but you know, we're all in the world. Well, Jesus said, my children, they're in the world, but they're not of the world.
Amen.
So we're here. We are people of God. We're to be able to walk around in this time world, rub shoulders, bump into other people, but we have something different inside.
Amen.
So that we are not of, we are not counted as the same as people that are of the world, whose desires and wishes are nothing but to please the flesh, go after all the toys and cares of life, and that's what they're devoted to. We're not there. St. Luke, the 8th chapter, 14th verse.
And that which fell among thorns, they which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection.
In other words, the word of God sowed in the hearts of men here, in this particular case, says, is the word of God as if it's sown among thorns. In other words, the cares of this life, the desire for riches and pleasures, have entered in and have choked the word of God so that it became unfruitful. Those people did not bring forth fruit to perfection.
Amen.
You know, that's something that we have to guard ourselves against.
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
You guard yourself. You look for the signs. And this is why I say, get to know God for yourself.
Yes.
Get to know Him so that you can detect when you're getting too wrapped up, too worried about, too involved in seeking after things in this time world.
Yeah.
And when you can prayerfully detect that you're getting too wrapped up in something, you draw back from it. You pull yourself back out of that thing. Ask God to help you. Lord, I'm pulling back. Too involved here. The Spirit of God and God's presence is He's a very gentle God we serve. Back in the Old Testament time, there was judgment put down by Him. But you know, I have observed that in our day and age, He doesn't seem to bring His judgment just down. Just, you disobeyed me, you turned away from me, and so here comes judgment. All these terrible things begin to befall you. It doesn't seem to go like that. And I think there's a scripture that says something like that over in Ecclesiastes. Because the hearts of men, thus it, the hearts of men are fully... No.
The sentence of an evil work is not
executed speedily. The hearts of men
continue to do evil.
They are fully set in them to do evil.
Yes.
It seems like we live in a time like that. That because God in His mercy has not come down in judgment.
That is right.
It seems like men's hearts are just fully set. Well, you know, there's no judgment. There's nothing going to happen to me. I'm going to go right on. Things continue just like they always did. And I just go on my own merry way. And I'm disobeying God. I'm not honoring God. I'm not putting Him in His proper place. I'm all right. God seems, in our time, seems to just be merciful.
Yes.
And holding back.
Yes.
But He's still a jealous God.
Yes. Yes.
He might be long-suffering.
That's it.
He might be patient.
Yes.
He's loving.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, one of these days...
Yes.
He hasn't changed in His nature.
Amen.
The nature of God hasn't changed in all these years.
Amen.
If you're His chosen people, don't provoke Him to jealousy.
Amen.
Don't provoke Him. I have heard things about the wrath of a jealous woman. And it seems like this very special, acute, mean, direct, sharp, vindictive, a jealous thing that's coming out. One of these days that our God, He's still a jealous God.
Yes.
Yeah.
If we provoke Him to jealousy, all of that love and that tender mercies and kindness and forbearance and giving you special favors and communication, that'll all just be wiped away. And you will be exposed to the hand of your enemies, just like the children of Israel, your spiritual enemy.
Yeah.
The devil. That one that abides or will abide in everlasting punishment. Could you imagine just being given up to Him?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, you wanted to serve Him all these years? You wanted to do it? You are free. And in comes this spirit, this wretched spirit, and he just takes you over. And destroys you. There are people that God gives them up to a reprobate mind.
Yeah.
Right here in this time world. Don't let it be us. Love the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart.
Yes.
Soul, mind, and strength. Love Him with everything you got.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Keep His commandments.
Yes.
Continually try to do what He wants you to do. When there come in, I'll say, competing lovers for your attention. The football game on Sunday morning. When these things begin to come in, Give him a stiff arm.
Amen.
Tell him not have it. I won't go down that road. I won't, in other words, we say that saying now. That means I won't entertain the first step. I won't look at all. That's the end of it. Competing lovers. Things that want to come in and take the place of Christ in your life. Our God is a jealous God. One last thought here. Isaiah 42 and 8. Isaiah 42 and 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another.
My praise to graven images. Amen.
You know, when the Lord does something for us, don't turn around and credit it to something else. You want God to work miracles in your life? Give Him glory for whatever He does.
Yes.
Amen.
Give Him glory.
Yes, amen.
You want Him to help you with some of the very basic, simple things that you're involved in this life? And then when He helps you, don't take a bit of credit to yourself.
Amen.
Not one little bit. Not spoken in word, not felt in heart. Not thought in mind.
Amen.
Not lifted up in attitude or spirit. Give Him the glory.
Yes.
Whatever it is. Your wisdom is nothing. It ain't nothing. You can't trust your abilities. Give God the glory.
Amen.
I think this is one of the reasons, seem like why sometimes when people seek for someone to help them through their problems, psychiatrist, medical doctor, MD. They seek for that help that you might say can be had there. Well, God ain't going to get glory out of that. Can He get glory out of it when man is mingled and mixed all in it? That takes your faith and it puts your faith in man. It puts your trust in man. God is a jealous God.
Yes.
Amen.
He's jealous. He wants all of our time. He wants our attention. He wants our affection. He wants our efforts. Whatever it is, if we're His people, chosen people, He wants it all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we want to give it to Him.
Amen.
Now, getting to know God. One little thing about God that we can remember is He's a jealous God. And based on the way He dealt with the children of Israel, eventually you'll find that He's not full of foolishness. He's a God that He says what He means. He doesn't pull some punch on you where you don't really understand what He means, then He comes back with something. No, He doesn't do you like that. He tells you exactly what He wants of you. And you can, if you say, well, I don't know, how do I get to know God? Get to reading the Word of God. Get to studying the Word of God and begin to open up your heart to God and let Him begin to talk to you. And you'll get to know Him. He won't be a stranger. He won't be way off over there. And you won't be worshiping idols, picking up things in this time world, play pretties and toys to put your affection and time and attention on. So may the Lord bless us and encourage your hearts.